Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the weekly podcast of Center Church San Diego. We are so happy to connect with you online today. You matter to God. You really do. Whatever your past, no matter what your circumstance right now, God loves you. And you belong right here. Hope starts now as we invite Christ to take his rightful place at the center of our lives. So let's jump in.
Well, there it is. You have the big fat mouth. It's going to get us in trouble every time, right? So welcome back to week 3. If this is your first time here, my name is Jen. I'm one of the leaders around here. We're glad that you're here. Our lead pastor, Marcus, who is my husband, is away in Hong Kong doing some ministry over there with one of our daughters. We have three kids. I have three kids right now because one is away. We have four kiddos. But it's just really going fantastic over there. And so this morning, I'm flying solo with the three kiddos, and I'm kind of, I asked the kids last night. I said, hey, guys, my kids are, 8, 10, I don't know how they are. They all just had birthdays. So let's see. They're 9, I don't know, guys, 9, 10, something, 12, 13. The point is, they're at a really great age that I can have like a real heart-to-heart with them, and that's what I did last night. I said, hey, listen, tomorrow mom is talking, so in the morning, if we could have a pretty smooth morning, that would be awesome. What that means is like if we could just get up and get ready, not turn on YouTube and just kind of have a good chill morning. Maybe you could even like make a bagel, do yourself your own breakfast, something like that. It would be super helpful. And so sure enough, I got to be honest, they killed it. They were great. And on the way here, I just said, hey, I just want to tell you guys, thanks. Thanks for such a smooth morning. That was super helpful to mom because I'm actually a little bit nervous. Dad's gone and I'm doing the talk and it's on a topic that I'm kind of familiar with. So I'm a little bit nervous. And Addie, who is my 14-year-old, who also many of you know her, but she has Down syndrome and she just kind of says what the rest of us kind of want to say, but don't always. She's very endearing. And she goes, oh, mom, you're nervous, but you've talked before. I said, I know. I said, but it's okay. It's good. It keeps me needing Jesus. And she says, mom, you don't need Jesus. You have us. I'll encourage you. So there you go. Guys, go find Addy, and you'll be just fine. So, but we do need Jesus. We really need him when it comes to our big fat mouth. And this morning, we're going to talk on the subject of gossip. Now, when I first, Marcus actually gave me this topic, and I was like, man, I don't know, really? I mean, isn't that kind of a grade school thing? Isn't that something that sort of happened in high school? And isn't it sort of just like, I mean, I don't know if any dudes in the room are even going to think that they gossip. Isn't that sort of like reserved for chicks? Like, really? That's what I'm talking about? But as I did some research and studied both in God's word and the interwebs, I was sort of blown away. And I think in some ways we've all been there. We've stood beside the water cooler when someone begins talking about the coworker's weekend, or we've walked into a restroom to hear conversation hushed, because obviously they're talking about something or probably somebody, or at lunch, maybe with your family or even coworkers, when the table roars in laughter at somebody else's misfortune. And at the root of all of these situations is simply idle talk, which can really be labeled as gossip. It's things like, hey, did you hear that Helen got a raise? Response, well, I'm not super surprised with the way that she flirts with the boss, right? Gossip. The colleague grumbles back, well, yeah, look at her. I mean, look at how skinny she's got. She is so thin. She's probably got an eating disorder. Comfort of gossip can be pretty pathetic, can be a little bit sickening. A few spiteful words shared in confidence can give us such a boost about ourselves Whether we do it with friends or colleagues or family members, saying negative things about someone else actually is quite common, and oddly, it makes us sometimes feel good. But I want to look to the scripture and what God has to say about it this morning. And let's just look here at Proverbs 18:8. It's in your outlines, but it's also going to be up on the screens. And it says, rumors are dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart. One translation says that they go down to the inmost parts. We had a birthday party for my 9-year-old this past week, and she likes Reese's Pieces. Quite frankly, so do I. I cannot keep them in my house because I really like Reese's Pieces. And so we had Reese's Pieces at her birthday party, and you know, they're just these tiny little morsels. Like rumors, it says, are like tiny little morsels, like little teeny Reese's Pieces. They seem really, really harmless. But the truth is, if I keep them around my house, I continue to consume them, and they go to in my innermost parts, and they ultimately are going to kill me, or at least cause me to have a major sugar low. But that's what rumors are like. Just tight, it seems so harmless, a tiny little morsel, but it sinks pretty deep. It's like eating cheap candy, gossip. But why do we like it so much? Why is it somewhat addicting? I heard it said that a lie travels around the globe while the truth is still tying its shoes. Amazing how quickly something untrue can spread so fast, and truth kind of doesn't really get very far these days. As kids, I had volunteered in Center Kids. I do that once a month. And last month when I was up there, we actually were talking about this very topic of the power of our words. And we did play a game of telephone. You know, remember that old game that you would play where someone says a sentence and then they whisper it along. And at the end, it sounds nothing like what it sounded like at the beginning. And the kids thought it was so funny and it was really, really silly. But as adults, it's not really that funny. It's a little bit pathetic, and we can all be guilty. In fact, when I did put in the Google search bar when I was studying how gossip hurts, the top 5 articles that came up related to gossip in the workplace wasn't a playground, wasn't a, you know, sandbox, wasn't even in a junior high locker area, workplace. Top 5 searches in the search bar. It was about you and me, and how we're living our lives. And however much we probably sit here and we're like disapproving, we know. Like, that's why when I got the topic, I'm like, well, duh. And however much we disapprove in theory, it's a very common behavior. There was a social psychology study that said about 60% of conversations between adults are about someone who is not present. Over half of the conversations that you have in your daily are about someone that is not present in the conversation. And most of those conversations regarded passing judgment on that other. Some sort of judgment passed about someone who wasn't even there. Why? Why do we indulge in this guilty pleasure? There's a couple of reasons. One is because gossip builds social bonds. Because, sadly, shared dislikes create stronger bonds than shared positives. So shared negatives actually develop a social bond more so than if you were speaking positively. Two people who don't know each other will feel closer if they have something mean or negative to say about a third person. Isn't that sad? But this is what the research showed, that if the two spoke negatively about some other, there was a tight bond that then came, opposed to if they'd have said something nice about someone else. It's a way of oftentimes demonstrating a sense of shared values and even humor. Because often it's done in jest. Often it's done sarcastically. Often it's not intended to be harmful, but funny, though it hurts. We gossip to share our worries, seeking reassurance and support. And sometimes it's fun to arouse curiosity and monopolize the conversation when you have information to reveal. You have something to say. It gives you something to say. And you can actually kind of show up to the conversation. Gossip also aids in social climbing. It's the way that we climb the ranks, often in our workplaces, but also in social settings. In Christian circles and in faith communities, we often disguise it as a prayer request. I know, we laugh because we know how true it is. You can, it goes something like, hey, will you please keep so-and-so in your prayers? You know, the person responds, oh, why? What's going on? Is everything okay? Well, they're just really struggling right now. I mean, I don't want to say anything, but you know, he's been staying late hours at work. She's feeling emotionally attached. I know that there's this new boss lady, and don't quote me on it. Don't quote me. I mean, can you just keep them in your prayers? I think they need their prayers. Disguised as a prayer request. How about gossip that's actually true? Let me tell you what I mean. You saw it on social media. They put it out there on a post. They shared it. So it's free reign to talk about, right? Not exactly. Not exactly. Sometimes the gossip from what we see posted will go a little bit like this. Did you see what he posted? No, I didn't. Let me show you. Isn't that ridiculous? Can you believe that he's putting himself out there? Like, do you know how much that car cost? Where are they coming up with that kind of money? Can you believe that they spent their money on that car? Is it true? Sure. Are they there? Is it gossiping? Yeah. Because here's the thing. Everything that is said must be true. But not everything that is true must be said. Not everything that's true must be said. In Proverbs 18:21, the scripture tells us that the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. So what do you want to be known for? Life or death? That's the power of your words. Life or death. I want to talk about the three people. And these are in your outline so you can fill these in. But the three people that gossip hurts. A is this. Gossip hurts the person being talked about. Gossip hurts the person being talked about. Have you ever been the victim of gossip? Right? If you went through high school, I'm sure you have been. But seriously, have you ever been the one to fall prey to another person's bitterness, their small-mindedness? And it's true when someone is talking about you and you fall victim, it's them being very small-minded. Honestly, it's you're victim to their insecurity. They're not feeling super great about them, which is why they so often need to speak poorly about you. And it can be painful. A lot of times, the person thinks that they're just getting something off of their chest, that they're just processing their thoughts to a safe space about their feelings and their thoughts with another. But the assumptions and the accusations about you are crushing. If you've been the victim, you know this. You know this. My junior year of high school, the hottest guy in the entire school who was a senior, Mike Smith. I think he still lives in San Diego, but I haven't seen him since high school. But anyway, he liked me. And it was kind of a big deal. And so he had an ex-girlfriend, though, that was a freshman in college. She went to San Diego State. And so one Friday night, after a football game, Mike Smith and I went to hang out at Sombreros, because that's what all good vaqueros from El Capitan and Lakeside do after the football game. And we, with a bunch of other people, but we went and we were just hanging out. And that was on Friday. By Monday, I got to school and pretty much everybody was like, Jenny Nix, which that was me, I was Jenny Nix. Only my mom still calls me Jenny, so let's not do that. Jen's good. But by Monday, everyone was like, oh my goodness, Jenny Nixon, Mike Smith, Jenny Nixon, Mike Smith. And that word traveled not only to my school, but it traveled all the way to College Avenue onto the campus of San Diego State, where his ex-girlfriend found out that Mike Smith and Jenny Nix. And let me just tell you what happened. That girl must have cut her class or something, I do not know, but her and her little blue VW bug followed me all the way home from after school cheer practice in the dark at night to my house. Ask my mother. And I was scared out of my mind. Gossip almost took my life, guys. It almost took my life. And I know that that's really funny. It kind of is in hindsight. But you know what I'm saying? Gossip actually, a lot of times, is not so small like that. That's the high school version. But when we grow it up to now and the things that we can fall victim to, they can be really painful. They can make us really, really sad. And the thing is, most of us haven't left that kind of slander or rumor mill back at high school. So many have taken it into the workrooms, the lunch break areas, the gym, Choose Fitness, locker, changing space. And it's really life or death, says the scriptures. Our words are life or death. That's the power that it has over the one that's being spoken poorly of. What seems like a little morsel, a tiny little Reese's Pieces, a cheap little candy, actually really does go deep into the heart of the person being talked about. Proverbs 16:28 says, a troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. Letter B, gossip hurts the listener. Have you ever been the one that said, oh, but I didn't say anything? I didn't say anything. I just want to make it really clear what God's word says about the listener. What you permit, you promote. Biblically speaking, it is just as wrong to listen. Look at Proverbs 17:4. Wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip. Liars pay close attention to slander. Wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip. I know that seems a little harsh, that you would be equally as wrong as the one that is slandering just when you listen. But these are God's words. And God's words are always for our good. And God's desire is always right relationships, redemption, and restoration. These are all good things. That's why God speaks to us pretty strongly here, because he's letting us know, hey, I want good for you. I want good for your relationships. I want to do restorative things, redemptive things. So don't listen. It's a good reason not to listen, because when you listen, it's the opposite of all things that are good. But why are we so enthralled? Why do we even care half the time to the things that we're listening to? Why would we even care about how expensive somebody else's car costs? What do we care about their budget or not? But we do, because we sit there and we listen and we entertain it, because gossip has this amazing ability to grow an audience. You simply being there listening, it adds to its appeal. It's like cancer. And it's just like it's fed and it spreads. And it's a disease that really does bring life or death. So as the listener, it's going to hurt you. It's the opposite of what God says to do. And God's plans are always good. So if you want good, stop listening. See, gossip hurts the speaker. Proverbs 25:9-10 says, when arguing with your neighbor, don't betray another person's secret. Others may accuse you of gossip, and you will never regain your good reputation. That is pretty strong. Never regain your good reputation. That is how harmful it is to the speaker. That is how harmful it is and how much it will hurt you when you gossip. I know the first thing that goes through my mind when someone is when there is a speaker talking to me about the life of someone else, my first thought is always like, and what are you going to say about me at your next lunch date when I'm not there? Right? Isn't that what always goes through your mind when someone's telling you a story about a third party who isn't present? Who are you going to talk to me about? This can't possibly be just an isolated situation. It hurts the speaker's reputation. And so be careful. I just want to urge you this morning to be careful. There's an old proverb that I read, and it relates to the story of a person who repeated gossip. And they were basically just spreading a rumor about a neighbor in the community. And soon, the whole community had heard the rumor. So later, the person who spread the gossip learned that the rumor was actually untrue. And so the person was very, very sorry, because now they learned that what they had spread to the entire community was actually false, and they felt really bad. So they went to the elder in the community who had a reputation for being really wise. And so they went to seek some advice on how they could, you know, make this right. And the elder told the person, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go home to your house, take a feather pillow, and then go outside, and I want you to rip it open and scatter the feathers, let the feathers scatter everywhere, and then I want you to return to me tomorrow. So the person did as the elder had instructed, and the next day, the person went back and visited the elder, and the elder said, okay, good. Glad you did what I said. Now I want you to go back out, and I want you to collect the feathers that you scattered yesterday, and I want you to bring them back to me. The person went back out to the community and searched for all of the feathers, but the wind had carried them all away. The person returned to the elder and said, I couldn't find all of the feathers that I had scattered yesterday. They were gone. You see, the elder said, it's easy to scatter the feathers, but virtually impossible to get them back. And so it is with gossip. It doesn't take much to spread your words, so many hurtful, but once you do, you can never completely undo the damage. Never completely undo the damage. So how then can we control gossip? How do I control gossip? I want to speak from a passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It is not in your notes, so this is just like free stuff. You can go home. It's 2 Chronicles 7, if you want to put it in your notes in the app or write it on the side so you can go and read this passage this week. But it's about King Solomon, and when he built a temple in Jerusalem, he was the king of Israel, and he was the son of David. And actually, David had had a vision and had it in his heart to build this temple for the people of Israel. And so now, and he has not since passed, and now Solomon, who is the king, is now the one building this temple. So the temple has now been built, and they are going to dedicate it unto the Lord, really, and to the people. And so this is what happens in 2 Chronicles 7. It says, I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit, but it's after Solomon had built the temple, and this is the Old Testament, and when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven. So he was, like I said, dedicating it, and he said a prayer. And fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord so filled it. It was on fire. And when all of the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "He is good and his love endures forever." Okay, so this would be like this place as like a temple of God, just the Lord's presence so filling it that just it like just lights up like fire. I mean, if that happened, you would all be texting your friends to get on over here right now. You would be have pulled out your little Insta stories and you would be just like all the gram would be lit up with what is happening in this place, right? I mean, do you ever sometimes these stories of the Old Testament, I kind of sometimes wish something like that would happen nowadays. I mean, it would be both terrifying and thrilling, but I mean, wow. This whole, they're praying, and it just lights up with the glory of God. But here's the thing about that. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, this is what, now in the New Testament, this is what is said about the temple. It says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. You are that temple. When you got saved, you became like a living stone. And all of us together, like stones, one stacked on top of the other, as a temple of God with Jesus as the cornerstone. Can you imagine if back in 2 Chronicles, if any of the Israelites had seen what was happening in the temple with the glory of God, and they grabbed like a big sledgehammer, and they went to go and try to just take a big whack at it, could you imagine what the people would have done? Like, whoa. That's the temple. That's God's glory. He resides there. Well, what the New Testament is saying is, we're the temple. You're the temple. And when someone is gossiping about the life of another, it's like taking a sledgehammer and going and taking a big whack at the temple, at that person. And it's an attempt to destroy what God has built. It's an attempt to destroy what God has built. When I was reading that, and when I realized, oh, they're the temple, and my words are like taking a sledgehammer, destroying something that God has built, it actually made me really convicted. And I actually sat in my little office desk and I said, God, I'm really sorry that sometimes I've been way too flippant with my words about another leader, feeling justified because I think I've been wronged. I've been way too flippant about family members that just don't do it the way that I do it. I think that they should. I've been way too flippant about things that I've seen when I've scrolled social media and in jest at a coffee date, been like, oh my gosh. Did you see who they went out with? I wasn't invited. Way too flippant. Way too flippant. I'm sorry. My big fat mouth. It's like a sledgehammer to the temple. And so I want to give you two things that you can do. One, guard your ears. Guard your ears. I'm going to give you a couple of passages. They're all going to pop in the screens, but they all really speak to this. It says in Matthew 18:5, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. If you hear it, guys, just deal with it one-on-one. This is the clear instruction. Go to that person, not another person, not a small group of people. Go to that person. Guard your ears. The next scripture says that a gossip goes around telling secrets. So don't hang around with the chatterers. there might be some people in your life that you're like, man, I'm going to say something, but I just might have to, like, because that's kind of toxic. I can't keep listening. I got to guard my ears. Because Titus 3:10, and this one is not on the screens, but it says, warn a divisive person, and then warn them a second time, and after that have nothing to do with them. And gossip is divisive. It divides. We were in that earlier passage. It destroys friendships. It destroys families. It destroys office spaces. So after you've been warned the second time, have nothing to do with them. Stop listening to it. Tell them just to put the hammer down. This is what God is saying. Put the hammer down. Don't whack at the temple. So the next time that you're enthralled to listen, don't be fooled by the enemy of your soul. Don't do what Eve did. Eve in the garden, when the enemy of her soul came to tempt her, did God really say, as you're listening to the divisive conversation, well, I'm not really saying anything, so I mean, did God really say that I can't, yeah, stop listening. God really said. He really, really said. Don't be the safe person. Sometimes it's real flattering to be the safe person. The safe person is enabling the sin. It's enabling the sin. So stop being so safe. It's like holding on to the hammer with them. It's like, okay, yeah, I got you, okay. Double whammy, put it down. Put the sledgehammer down. Number two, close your mouth. So we're gonna guard our ears, and then we're gonna close our mouth. Proverbs 21:23, it says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. So here's the truth about your big fat mouth. What comes out is truly an overflow of what's going on in your heart. The gospel says that from the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. So gossip, speaking poorly about another, is oftentimes just pushing them down to step over because of some of the stuff that's feeling a little bit of lack or less than in your own heart. Gossip is often what's coming out of your heart is a little demeaning, so that perhaps that you can feel a little bit better or appear a little bit better, because that's what's going on in your broken heart. That's, and out of the abundance of your mouth, or abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And so really, your mouth has a heart problem. There's something going on in your heart that causes you to open your mouth. I sometimes go and I work at coffee shops because I'm trying to be millennial. So there's that, but I'm not very millennial. But, you know, that's where all the millennials hang out, is and they shop and they pull out their laptops and they have all their businesses and they're, like, working from the coffee shop. So sometimes I'm like, cool, I'm going to do that. And I go and there's this really great one in North Park, and it's called Communal Coffee, and it's got great aesthetics and my neighbor owns it. So I also feel like I'm supporting local business and all these things. So I was there the other day working, and this really darling 20-something, she really did try pretty hard, but looked like she didn't try hard. Like, she's just, like, tousled and, you know, whatever. All you guys are like, huh? It's true. It's a thing. So anyway, so she comes in, and she sits down, and she's got all of her stuff, and she pulls out her laptop, and then they bring out her, I don't know, it's probably like a lavender oat milk latte, something very millennial as well. You know, I'm just drinking black coffee, but something lovely. And when she sees it, she's just like, oh, is that what you're drinking right there? Yes, okay. She's got her oat milk latte too. So, and you're my age, so I don't know. But she gets it and she's just like, and I'm thinking, wow, what? She pulls out her camera and literally begins to, like, array, like, her little, like, clutch, and then, like, her book, and then she, like, puts the coffee, like, right in the book, and then I'm not, and then she's like, okay, gets her phone, she's like, then she stands up, she's like, hmm, and I do that kind of stuff at home, But like, oh my gosh, we're at a coffee shop, girl. What are you doing? No kidding. Like, she could not get the view she wanted. She was doing it for the gram, and she could not get the angle. She literally got up on a chair. Girl got up on a chair to get the, you know what I almost did? I almost took out my phone and storied the whole entire thing. I did. I'm like, oh, this is good. But I stopped. Thank goodness for preparing for this talk, because I was like, that, my friends, is gossip. Like, I was about to bust, like, pretty, kind of trying to shame and make fun of another in a story that 500 people are going to watch, and everybody's going to get a good laugh at the cost of a sweet girl who knows? Maybe she's just trying to build a business, and she's all, I don't know what she's doing. Does it matter? And I know that is silly, but I was like, oh, shut your mouth, put the phone down, let the girl be. Who really cares? Who really cares? And that's something real small, and it's sort of silly, something we do probably often, but those are the things that actually we do much more offensively, much more, and it's because of what's going on in our own hearts, whether it's for a good laugh or whether it's because we're feeling small. It's because of our own broken hearts. Because what gossip claims, and this is your last fill-in, what gossip claims is, I am strong because they are weak. That's what I'm doing there. I'm better. Psh, girl, what are you doing? Gossip claims, I am strong because they are weak. The gospel claims, I am weak, but he is strong. I am weak. I am not better. I am weak. I am broken. I am hurting. I am weak, but he is strong. And here's the truth. When we know who we are and whose we are, we're the temple. We're the temple, his spirit. When we accept Jesus, when we get saved, we are his and he is ours, and his spirit fills us, and we can be lit up like fire. We can shine so bright. And when we know whose we are, our hearts are actually full. We don't need to trash talk another to lift ourselves up, because we are on fire. We don't need to speak poorly of someone else for promotion in a workplace, or for validation with a friend. We know that according to Psalm, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We know that according to Ephesians, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works. To do good works. That's what God has for us. When we remember who we are and whose we are, we know that it is good that he is doing in us and through us. We know that according to Jeremiah, that there is a plan for our lives, a plan to prosper us and not to harm us, a plan of hope and incredible future. In that knowledge, we can rest, and we can be assured that when we're weak, he is strong. And then our hearts get transformed. And then when our hearts are transformed, they give our mouths life. Life. I can believe the best in another. I can recognize I'm not better, but I can point others to the one who makes us all better. You lose that right quite a bit when you ruin your reputation with your mouth. So what if we tried something different? What if we flipped the percentages? Remember, it was 60% of adult conversations are really slander or passing judgment about someone who is not present. So what if we flip the percentages of our adult conversation and we spent 60% of our conversation saying something good about another? Did you hear? And then the person's got like that sinking feeling in their gut. You know, you've been the victim. Oh, no. Oh, no. What is it? What did I do? What did they say? Oh, no. Did you hear? They said you are the best mom. They observed you trying to load up your littles into the car after church, and they were blown away by your care and patience with them. Did you hear? Did you hear that the boss thinks that you are one of the most diligent partners on our team? That you're making such an incredible progress on that project, and it's inspiring for everyone to watch. What if we flipped it? When's the last time someone came up to you? Did you hear? Did you hear your husband say that you are so brilliant? He admires how you juggle so many responsibilities while he is away in China. Did you hear it? But as we, I want to make that challenge to us. Let's flip the percentage. Let's start using our mouths to bring life. Bring life. As we recognize the truth that I am weak, but he is strong, then I truly understand who Jesus is. And this truth, it sustains, renews, and transforms my heart, which completely changes the way that I talk. So will you guys pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your words that are truth and that bring us, yeah, they bring us conviction. They do, God. And that's sometimes a tough pill to swallow, but we just want to, I thank you for that this morning because it's for our good. You want us to live a freer life, a more abundant life, a more hope-filled life. And so I thank you this morning for the conviction in our heart. It says, man, I've been too flippant. And so this morning, as we all sit here in just the quietness, I'm just going to give us each a moment to just kind of ask for forgiveness in the ways that we have used our words to harm another, maybe not even realizing how hurtful. Lord, I pray that we would also guard our ears, that we would encourage others to put the hammer down, we would not listen, that we would not permit the negative talk that goes on in so many of our circles. Because what we permit, we promote. And I pray that we would be the kind of people that silence it. Put the hammer down. That we would guard our ears and walk away. So I pray that you would forgive us this morning, God, and for the things that we have listened to. We had no business listening to. And we thank you for your hope. The hope that says it's all forgiven. The hope that says that you, God, when we are weak, you are so strong. And in those weak moments, your strength comes in and it transforms us, and that we then can be a mouthpiece of life to those that are around us and to the circles that we find ourselves in. And so I pray as we leave this place this morning, we would be encouraged and we would take on the challenge. Did you hear? Did you hear all of the good that is being said about you? Because you are a child of God. We thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and in this place. We pray that you would just be with us for the remainder of our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. The question now is, what are you going to do with what you just discovered? Take a step to connect with us in person? Or perhaps choose to support the ministry of Center Church with your financial generosity? Take your next right step and visit us online at centerchurchsd.com. See you next time.